Order at 8:12, committee's time here. This morning, we have in front of us HB 217, and we have several people online, and we'll start with Tom Wright here, present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before we go forward, let the record show who's here. Representative Newman, Representative Ledoux, co-chair Olson, and co-chair Thomas present.
What a fine group to have in front of us this morning. Thank you.
Sunny day in Juneau again.
Beautiful day in Juneau. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name's Tom Wright. I'm staff to the Speaker, Representative John Harris. I'm not going to try to describe this bill for you. I'm just here as the backup in case something happened on the teleconference system. Pete Fellman from our office will be the one explaining the bill, and the community of Delta was the impetus behind this. So I'm going to turn this over to Pete and let him explain what's happening in this bill. We do have the state assessor online, Steve Van Sant, and also some folks from the community of Delta Junction who also, I believe, will be offering testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Pete, are you online?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to thank Tom for coming down and bringing this bill to committee. Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, my name is Pete Fellman. I'm staff for Representative Harris. House Bill 217 embodies a concept that has been around the legislative halls for a long time. In the past, this idea of not taxing pipeline property was buried in more complex legislation. There was legislation around presented by Senator Wilkin, and that was to encourage the formation of boroughs. House Bill 217 provides opportunity and it provides choice to communities who wish to organize local governments and form boroughs. The opportunity is to form affordable boroughs that can be funded, and the choice is to choose to tax property or not tax property in order to fund those boroughs. This legislation really is about choice. If you have a community that decides that they want to form a borough, yet don't want to pay property tax, this would allow them to exclude the pipeline properties and also not have a property tax, therefore reducing their 4 mil requirement to pay for schools. It's really, it does provide opportunity. It does provide incentives for local government and the organization of boroughs. And having said that, Mr. Chairman, I'm open to answer questions. However, Steve Van Zandt is online, and Steve would be much more professional about explaining any ins and outs or questions that may be presented about how this tax would affect the state.
Okay, thank you. Let the record show Representative Cott is here, and Representative Salmon was, but I guess he is here and they'll be back. So, questions? You have any questions of him? If not, Steve, are you there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay. My name is Steve Van Sant. I'm a state assessor with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And I am here to answer any questions that you might have on the bill, or if I can clarify any misunderstandings on it.
Any questions? Yeah, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, I have a couple of questions. The way I understand this bill is right now the unorganized areas of the state are including the property, which is it does have a value in their borough, or not borough, but their area, for the local 4 mil taxes that is going into the school fund right now, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if this is dropped out, then that money would not be going towards schools, correct?
No, if I might, through the chair, Representative Newman, let me just explain how this works real quick. Currently, in the Delta area, for example, there is no borough. So the value of the pipeline is not included in the value that we give for Delta. If Delta were to form a borough, We just spent the last year going through the Delta Toke area to come up with some estimated values for that area, and we're in the neighborhood of about $570 million in round figures. Now, of that, you've got the Pogo mine, which is right now about $125 million, and then you've got the oil and gas property, which is right at $200 million. If they were to form a borough, that $200 million in round numbers would be included in our full value and would have to be considered when they give their local contribution for education. Now, the problem with that is right now the state collects 20 mils on all oil and gas properties, so that $200 million is subject to 20 mils. If we include that value, $200 million, in the full value for the borough, they're almost required to levy a property tax. There's very few other alternatives that they can come up with to derive the kind of money that they're going to have to come up with to get that 4 mil equivalency there. And in one sense, we're taking dollars out of the right-hand pocket of the state and putting it in the left. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So the emphasis behind the bill is to say, look, if a municipality does not levy a property tax, we will not include the value of the oil and gas property, thus not forcing them into levying a property tax on all property, including the oil and gas. At such time that if they decide to levy a property tax, then not only would they levy a tax against the local property, all the houses and commercial buildings, but they'd also levy one against the oil and gas. And at that time, when they levy the property tax, we would include the value of that in their full value. Does that kind of help address the issue?
I guess my question would be, why would you want to form a borough when you got a gas line running through it and not want to tax it at 18 mils like other people do and have a high exemption for property tax?
Well, through the chair, that's certainly a choice that can be made on a local level. Like I said, the impetus behind this bill is not to force them into a property tax should they not want to levy one. If they chose to go ahead and levy a property tax, then they certainly could do that. But that means everybody's going to have to pay that tax. And in many areas of the state, a property tax is not the desire of the local voters.
One question I'll let the committee. What's the amount of exemption that a borough can give to their property owners? Is it like $100,000 already?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, the maximum amount that a borough could exempt from property tax for any individual would be $20,000, and that's under the optional residential exemption, and that's only for residential property. Senior citizens can be exempt up to, or are exempt up to $150,000, but everybody else would pay taxes. Now, the $20,000 that can be exempted under the optional exemption is added back into the full value. So we include that in when we do the full value, so it's included in their school funding contribution.
Okay, you want to let the show Representative Cisna is here now, too? Questions? Representative Ledoux?
Yes, I think I finally understand what this bill is talking about as far as oil and gas property. But it's got another couple of sentences in here talking about detached property that I've read several times and I still can't figure it out.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, if I might address that for you. That talks about detachment from a municipality for an area. And what basically it's saying there is that if an area detaches from a borough...
What do you mean... Excuse me, I don't mean to cut you off. What do you mean detaches?
If a borough... if an area is allowed to remove itself from the borough boundaries.
Okay.
What that says is that The value that we come up with for full value is used for school funding. The value that we come up with for in this year, 2005, won't be used for school funding in 2007. So what this bill, or what this portion of the bill says, is that if an area detaches from a borough, or in other words, an area is allowed to remove itself from the borough boundaries, the value will be excluded for 2 years prior to that, because that's the value that's used for school funding, not the current value.
Representative Ledoux.
Is detachment kind of like reverse annexation?
That's through the chair, Representative Ledoux. That's certainly one way of looking at it. It's basically allowing an area to withdraw from the borough. I don't know if there's been many of them. I can't think of any that's happened. I know in Matsu Borough, for example, the Lake Louise area has attempted to detach a couple of times, and they want out of the borough, saying they've got more in common with Glen Allen. At some point, Glen Allen may form a borough, and if they do, perhaps Lake Louise will detach from the Matsu Borough and attach itself to the Glen Allen Borough.
Representative Ledoux.
So I guess I'm just sort of curious, since you can't think of an area which is actually detached, what's the motivation behind this section of the bill?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, the motivation is the fact that if an area does detach, and certainly there is always that possibility, that we want to make sure that when it detaches, that we're dealing with apples and apples. In other words, that the values that are going to be the borough, the full value that the borough has to consider for local school contribution would be the value 2 years ago, not today's value. So we want to make sure we remove those values from that borough.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, I'm kind of still have a question on the loss of the local contributions for the schools. Right now, the pipeline going through unorganized areas, that do they pay any? That is that included in the value of that area on that 4 mil? Is there a 4 mil tax on that goes towards schools right now?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, the answer to that is no, sir. That value is not connected to any municipality unless it happens to run through the city boundaries, which there are none in the unorganized borough right now. So that the pipeline that runs from Prudhoe to Valdez goes through primarily boroughs and the unorganized borough. Any portion of the unorganized borough that it goes through is not considered in any municipality's full value for local contribution to schools.
So by taking this out, this doesn't decrease local contributions into the school foundation formula?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, that's correct.
Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
I guess I'm just wondering if an unorganized area that would like to become a borough but is concerned about becoming a borough because they've got a pipeline or something like that running through it, and they don't want to levy a property tax because that means that everybody in the borough is going to end up paying property tax. Would another solution to this problem simply be to increase the amount of exemption that there is for that a borough could exempt local property owners from? So if you exempted people from the first, 100,000, 150,000 or so, then they'd actually be able to levy property taxes on things like pipelines.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, a couple of things. One, whenever you increase an exemption, all you're doing is shifting the tax burden from one category to another. In the case you're discussing or you're describing, it would shift it from the residential and commercial owners to a third party like the pipeline. The state only gets 20 mils out of that right now, and that's all that can be levied against that property. The problem with that is anytime we exercise what we call an optional exemption, where the municipality may increase an exemption or grant an exemption, those values are still added into the full value. The full value actually reflects the total taxable value of the borough that could be taxed should a borough decide to tax it. So any optional exemption is added back in. So even if they granted a higher exemption, that value would still be contained in their full and true value and subject to the 4 mil local contribution.
Representative Olson.
Mr. Van Zandt, could you give me several examples of the certain other programs contained in the title?
Through the chair, Representative Olson, I'm not sure I understand the question, sir.
Line 2, certain other programs, page 1.
Well, in the past, the full value has also been used to in a calculation for revenue sharing. That's not there now, but many times the wealth, quote unquote, the measurement of wealth, which is the full value, is used in different state shared programs. So I think this was kind of a catch-all in case, and there may be other programs that I'm unaware of that use the full value. There are several of them that I'm not even aware of that use the full value for calculation in whatever grants they may get.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, we'll stay on the line as we go along, Steve, in case we have to come back to you. So we'll go to Delta Junction, Mike Schultz.
Yes, thank you for the chance to comment on this bill. To introduce myself, I'm the chairman of the group in the Delta area that's called the Charter Commission. It's charged with writing the charter for the future borough here. The Charter Commission was created by the City Council here and about 16 months ago. So it's been an effort that's been underway for a period of time here, and we've gotten close to completing the work, and the charter is nearly completed. But we're dealing and wrestling with the funding of the borough, those questions. The tax, proposed tax structure has been discussed a lot and it's pretty well been decided, but this formal equivalency certainly comes into play with this. And because we feel quite strongly that the community will not accept a borough charter with a property tax, we have designed a taxing structure that does not contain a property tax. That may have a chance to pass the voters, we feel. So part of that then is to exclude the valuation or the values of the oil and gas properties in the borough area, which is what this bill would do, and that's why it's important to us if we're going to form a borough to get this bill passed. So that ends my comments, but I'm open for any questions.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike, I really like the idea that you're wanting to form a borough up there, and I commend you for that. But how do you form a borough without having property taxes?
Okay, in this case here, we've debated this a lot. In community meetings and so on, discussed it a lot. And the taxing structure that will be used in this proposed borough consists of three things. 2%, 3% tax on the fuel, meaning heating fuel and gasoline, a 10% tax on power sold in the borough area, that's the electric power, and a 2% severance tax on the gold that comes out of Pogo Mine. Those three taxes will be the taxing structure that funds this borough.
Okay, Mike, if I may, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Representative Newman.
That's pretty good. You know, I know a lot of boroughs in the Mat-Su borough, we have fairly high property tax, personal property tax. Personal taxes are exempt, you know. Do you can see in the future where property taxes will start coming in to help fund your borough?
Well, that'll be a discussion down the road, probably 15 to 20 years. I guess a lot of that would depend on so many things. The primary thing would be what happens with the gold mine. If it's indeed a 10-year life or 10 to 15-year life and it's in decline and due to shut down 15 years from now, well, then certainly the people... The borough assembly at that time would have to look at a property tax, but there's other things that could happen that would change that outlook too. So that's a hard one to. My crystal ball doesn't work very well to go out that far into the future.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Say, Mike, could you do me a favor and talk to the Comanche Borough Manager about taking away property taxes like that or reducing them? I'd appreciate that.
Got a gold mine there.
Yeah.
Which borough manager was that?
Any other questions? Representative Ledoux.
I'd like to ask a question to Mr. Van Sant if he's still on the line.
Are you still there, Steve?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, I am.
I was just wondering how many boroughs exist now that finance themselves through other than property taxes?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux. Currently, we have 16 boroughs in the state, only 12 of which levy a property tax. The other four, the Denali Borough, the Northwest Arctic Borough, Lake and Penn Borough, and the Aleutians East Borough, all derive their revenues through other than property tax. For example, the Denali Borough levies a bed tax. Lake and Penn and Aleutians East depend a lot on fishing, and the Northwest Arctic Borough depends on a payment in lieu of tax from Red Dog Mine.
Okay, any
Thank
other?
You.
Okay. Okay, is Pete Helgren there?
Yeah, Pete Helgren. Thank you. I'm the city administrator for the city of Delta Junction. And, you know, part of the idea here is that the city of Delta Junction would dissolve at the same time that the borough came into effect, so you wouldn't have duplicate local government. And I think it would be a very good way of handling the needs of the local area. Boroughs use a variety of taxes to meet their own local situation, and that's really what we're talking about here. With $200 million worth of Trans-Alaska Pipeline inside the proposed Deltana borough, that means we would have to come up with $800,000 in taxes just to pay that portion of the value toward our local schools. The state currently is getting about $4 million a year off the Trans-Alaska Pipeline that runs through the proposed Deltana borough. We would have to take that $800,000 away from money that goes currently to the state general fund. So the taxation on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline would not change, just where that money went would. Currently, all of it goes to the state general fund now. We would like to come up with a tax situation that meets our area's needs and people better. The way the law is currently written, we're forced into a property tax. If you pass this bill, the local people would have the opportunity to not have an initial property tax, and we would not have to take that $800,000 out of the state coffers every year to give it to the schools. So that's really what we're looking at. I don't see a downside to this, to the state. I see real upsides to trying to put together a Deltana borough here. It'd be the first new borough in quite a number of years.
Okay, I have a question for Steve, if you're still there, Steve.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
That's okay, thank you. If you form a borough and you have borough boundaries and you have federal lands in there, who's going to receive the payment in lieu of taxes? Will that go to the state for education, or will it go to, since I understand, the way I look at it, you're going to be waiving any revenue from the pipeline to pay for education, if I understand this right?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The payment in lieu of tax would actually go to the borough under that scenario.
Or instead of the state? I thought maybe for some reason I thought payment in lieu of taxes was to help for education also. Maybe, am I wrong?
Well, the boroughs get a portion of all that payment in lieu of tax. And in reality, you probably need to talk to Bill Rawlson in our office in Juneau about the payment in lieu of tax, because he's got a better handle on it than I do.
Mr. Chairman, this is Pete Hallgren. I've got some information if I could break in.
Please do.
I've talked to Bill Rawlson a number of years because the city of Delta Junction receives payment in lieu of taxes through the state program. If a borough were to form here, the borough would get essentially the money. Slightly less than the city of Delta Junction gets now, but the borough, under another arm of the PILT formula, would get PILT. So, in reality, the amount of PILT going to the city of Delta Junction this year is about $467,000. That would go down to somewhere in the high 380s, 390s under the borough pilt. So there would actually be a loss of revenue upon formation of a borough. But that's all been calculated into the Charter Commission's figuring out where the money comes from and how much we need.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, Pete, I'd like to say thanks for explaining that nice and clear about how the money goes. It's going to be coming from the borough, you know, goes to the state. I think you finally hit the nail on the head there of getting this open and explaining where it is. Also, you said that you were going to tax power use. Is there areas that are getting power cost equalization funds from the state right now, and would those taxes be levied against the PCA funds that you get?
Currently in the proposed Deltana area, no one is getting power equalization money. We are served by Golden Valley Electric, so we pay the same electric charges that Fairbanks, North Star, Brown City, Fairbanks pay.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions? Hearing none, we have Lamar Cotton in Anchorage. Are you there, Lamar?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Lamar Cotton. However, I think I'll decline to testify since I think most of the points I was going to make have been covered by previous speakers.
Okay, and thank you. Any more? Anybody else out there? Nobody else out there to testify? Anybody in the audience wish to testify? I thought that was a hand up. No. Okay, at this time, we'll close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Discussion? Representative Newman?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. You know, at first I kind of had some doubts on this bill, on where it was going to go, because my concern was that these were funds that were going to go into education and they were going to be taken out. But I think the way Mr. Hallgren explained it, to where actually, you know, this money won't go into $841,000, won't go into general fund monies, but it will go to the local contribution towards those funds. And I think that was a good, adequate, clearly stated answer, and that really helped me get by a lot of questions that I had on this. I think with that testimony, it put to ease a lot of the questions that I had, and I could probably support this, or at least passage of it anyhow.
Any other discussion? Action? Somebody, Representative Ledoux?
I move House Bill number 217-24-LS-0427/A with attached, does it have fiscal notes?
No.
With individual recommendations, then. No, with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Any objection? Hearing none, bills move from committee. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.